on this episode of Edge of the Web.
You know, again, 30% market share, give or take, in the U.S. And of course, it varies in different countries, Canada, countries.
Absolutely.
And you can change that analogy appropriately. But it's all about, are you really going to leave that opportunity on the table? Because there are millions of searches happening across the Bing network every day.
Your weekly digital marketing trends with industry trend-setting guests. You're listening and watching Edge of the Web. Winners of Best Podcast from the Content Marketing Institute for 2017. Hear and see more at edgeofthewebradio.com. Now, alongside Tom Broadbeck, here's your host, Aaron Sparks.
So welcome back to Edge of the Web Radio. Thanks for tuning in to our live broadcast, as well as everyone who's listening to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play or all of the different aggregators. We certainly appreciate you jumping on board and hanging out with us for an hour. We're broadcasting from Edge Media Studios, located in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. Every week, we're bringing you the latest marketing trends, as well as marketing influencers from around the planet. Where you want to check out all the must-see videos over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. The title sponsor of the show is Site Strategics, our parent company. We are agile digital marketers. And if you're interested in what agile marketing is, just give us a shout. Go over to sitestrategics.com. That's S-I-T-E, strategics.com. And give us a shout. Drop in. Drop us a line. Hey, you can even chat with us right there. And let's schedule time to meet and talk and discover what agile could be for you. It's the responsive flexible digital marketing tactics that focus on results. So give us a shout. We'd be happy to sit down with you and consult for an hour and possibly bring some action items that you can use immediately for your own success. I'm Aaron Sparks. I'm the CEO of Site Strategics, as well as founder of Edge Media Studios here. The reason that we do this show, we always want to bring that to light as soon as we get into it, is we've been doing the show for, close to 8 years now, and we've talked to a heck of a lot of people in the digital marketing space to help demystify and kind of debunk some concepts inside of digital marketing. There's so many things that are in front of us as marketers, and we got to figure out what's a true path, what's hype, and what's real in tactics that we can bring to our own clients. So we've done this show for that long a time to be able to not only kind of color the landscape, be able to unpack a lot of key concepts in all the different spaces like search engine optimization, social media, conversion rate optimization, video optimization, local optimization. I could say optimization like 15 times in this intro, but I'm not going to. You know, but we also do this for our own selfish reason. We want to keep ourselves educated. As an agency, Site Strategics is constantly focused on how do we improve what we're doing for our own clients. So why not actually dive into the well each and every week and be able to bring you some great information from some top talent from around the planet. So to continue in this vein, we want to introduce some other top talent here from Site Strategics. It's Tom Broadbeck, Director of Digital Media here.
Hello, hello.
Hello, sir. Hey, we've got some bright colors going on today.
I know. It's like, did we change brand colors?
I know.
I got my hunting shirt on, and
I'm going neon blue.
You've got some blue color on. So.
I got a bit of a memo that I'm wearing too much black here.
Oh. Well, there's black in the blue.
Oh, there is.
An accent.
See, I snuck it in there. But, you know, I'm just trying to branch out of my colors. I've been going into this rut for a while. I just want to diversify. And if you know, I'm wearing the same bloody pullovers on a regular basis. It's just my winter thing, man. I don't know. All right. So, hey, you know what? Let's introduce our guest, who's a friend of the show, John Lee from Bing. How are you doing, sir?
Well, guys, and I don't know if you had me chuckling over here or not in the audio, but... Again, orange, favorite color, blue, I'm guilty as well.
So we've got a theme happening today.
Yeah, I guess so. But hey, blue and orange go together, so.
They really do. Syracuse colors.
Somebody got the memo somewhere.
Yeah, it just so happens that blue and orange is the theme colors for Site Strategics as well. If you go over there, you can see those colors in action right now. But don't do that. You want to listen to the show. Hey, John, it's great to be able to have you on board, and we always want to dive in. We've loved you in the past coming on the show, and we certainly want to get into Bing Ads and kind of uncover what's going on over at Bing. But first and foremost, we always go through the latest marketing news. You game for that today?
I'm game. Fire away, man.
You got it. All right, let's take you through the latest digital marketing news.
I was very excited to start my reportings.
This week's trending topics.
See, we've got Borat back, right?
Borat's back.
And he is back. Yeah. So it's literally, that was Christmas. That was 3 weeks ago, and I've just noticed the point. My God. I'm just waking up.
So maybe I'll change it next week. I don't know. We'll see.
It's still January. Like, once we get to February at that point, then feel guilty.
Yeah, it's kind of like, take your Christmas lights down at least by the end of January, right?
If it's not too cold out.
You know what?
I'll give grace period.
You know, the ones that really piss me off are the people that leave their leaves in those orange pumpkin trash bags and they stay around until January. Have you seen that?
No.
No? Those things are so annoying. Have you seen that, John?
I have.
Okay, see?
Okay.
He's got my back.
We just rake ours to the curb and they suck them up.
Oh, yeah. See, these aren't, they think it's Halloween decorations, too. That's what's. Hey, over at Search Engine Land from Jenny Marvin, Bing Ads, got a theme here, launches page feeds for easier dynamic search ad management. So, Tom, I'm going to let you lead, and John, jump in there immediately. What's going on over at Bing?
Yeah, so we'll have a big Bing Ads news segment here. So page feed ads and Bing Ads are rolling out, like you said, over all accounts next few weeks to help advertisers manage targets for their dynamic search ads. Page feeds eliminate the need to create targets for specific URLs or groups of URLs in your DSA campaigns, which makes it easier to set up and manage. Excuse me, Bing Ads. Page feeds are also compatible with Google Ads page feeds, so you can use the same feeds across both platforms. Mm-hmm. So John explained to us why it's, I mean, I teased a little bit, but why is this a good thing and how does this help from what's a dynamic search ad and all that fun stuff?
We'll start at the top. I mean, DSAs, dynamic search ads for the uninitiated. Yeah, it's a tremendous way to say, okay, I've got my keyword targeting, but I know that I might be missing something. None of us are 100% accurate with our keyword choices for search. And so DSA flips the script, right? Instead of putting in a keyword, it's going to look at your website. It's going to look at your content. It's going to look at the code, right? So for those of you doing SEO, this is where, you know, some of that extra goodness is actually going to help you on the paid search side. Mm-hmm. So the DSA algorithm is looking at your content and then matching to search queries coming through. And that's happening if you're talking Google or Bing. And the magic here is it's not just matching to those queries, but then the ad is going to get customized based on the page that it matched to the query. And so you get this magical line drawn from query to ad to landing page. Which is what we should all be doing with paid search anyways. So it takes some of the guesswork out. And it's not really intended to be a standalone campaign entity. It's a way to complement your traditional keyword-based search campaigns and find that missed opportunity, if you will, those queries that you didn't dream up, you didn't think of. If you've got a smallish website, a manageable website, DSAs are pretty easy to set up in the web interface. But easy, manageable websites, I think, are getting rarer and rarer these days. And so content is king.
Yep.
Saying that for how long now? And because of that, it can become a real challenge. And when you think about big commerce sites that have huge inventories, it's a lot to manage. And so page feeds take some of the heat off of a manual, laborious process of setting that up. And you can dynamically... strike that word. Let's say set up the feed. And then as you're moving forward and you're making changes to the content of your site, those changes can be reflected in that feed and bumped, as opposed to having to log in to Bing, set up a new ad group, a new auto target, et cetera.
Right.
A lot of that's going to happen directly through the feed. So it's all about streamlining management. And as you guys mentioned, if you're already using DSA page feeds on Google, you can just take what you've set up there directly on Bing. So easy peasy.
Absolutely. And you don't have to put your entire site at the disposal of the ads.
That's
You can craft different sections that are either buyer's journey pathways or specific related product subsections, because that's where you can actually really get into intent based on, and the dynamic search is going to pocket around that information to be able to, so you're cordoning off, but you're kind of fencing in like a cul-de-sac of information. So the dynamic ads actually responding to the behavior, and you're actually able to get a much higher click-through because you're also having the dynamic variables, the keywords, dynamically generated in the ad as well, right?
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. The ability to shape that style of campaign using, just like you create a target based on the content of your site, you can create negative targets or exclusions, just like you would use a negative keyword. A negative keyword can still be used with DSA campaigns as well. So
cool.
There's a lot of muscle to flex there, and it's a deep well. So I know that I've talked to folks in the past where there's been trepidation because they're so used to keywords, right? The match type paradigm and how you go about bidding for that. That, you know, they're a little wary of diving in, but it's quite magical, actually.
Honestly, it is, and oddly enough, I mean, magical rarely comes across on the marketing side, except for this. Actually, we're on the precipice of really embracing machine learning. When it gets into the ad management and with all of the permutation flexibility with ads, the things that we just could not build manually, we now are starting to trust the automatic and the machine learning principles here. And dynamic ads, I think, are going to be a much stronger play here as that component of your ad system matures.
They are. And I would say, and dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. The algorithm is going to be as smart as you allow it to be,
right,
and it needs to be trained, right? So analyze the data, look at your search term reports, your search query reports, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do the homework, make the necessary changes with the keywords, content exclusions like we referenced. So you have to train that algorithm, but once you train it, it's going to be one of your best friends.
Very good. Very good. Over at ZDNet from Mary Jo Foley, Microsoft and Verizon Media extend Bing ads with a Yahoo deal. So Microsoft and Yahoo have a long and twisted history going back to Microsoft's near purchase of Yahoo in 2008. Oh, I remember that. You just wonder what the world would have been had that gone through. The partnership between the two via Yahoo's parent company, Verizon Media, formerly known as Oath, is taking another turn this week with Microsoft's announcement that Bing Ads is now the exclusive search advertising platform for Yahoo and Verizon's other media property, AOL. Boy, I remember AOL, too. It's still around. Sorry. I'm pretty old here, I guess. Search Engine Land has a good rundown of the search ad history of Microsoft and Yahoo. Bing Ads actually became a provider of search ads for AOL, taking over from Google in 2015. So, John, give us a bit of a perspective on this arrangement. It's a pretty big deal, don't you think?
It's a big deal on a number of fronts, in search, but even outside of search. And I'll touch on that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I'll just point out, I constantly am amazed at the weird context I have for a lot of the stuff. So when I first got into this industry, Overture was still Yahoo's platform. For those that don't know, Overture was kind of the original PPC platform. I loved being able to see what the next competitor up from you was bidding and just upped them by 1 cent. That was glorious. I miss that. And then, of course, right, you mentioned the tables have been turned where Microsoft was getting their ads from Yahoo,
mm-hmm.
now vice versa. So yeah, it's been a long, circuitous path, to say the least. This deal is huge, right? So, you know, Oath, Yahoo, for all intents and purposes, has had their own platform, Gemini, for a couple of years now. And initially it was, yeah, we're just going to backfill some inventory. And then they made a partnership with Google as well to further complicate things. And so up until now,
mm-hmm.
there's the potential that in order to have full coverage from the PPC advertising perspective on Yahoo properties, you had to be advertising in all three places.
Mm.
Or you didn't have full coverage, didn't have full query coverage. That's complicated for the end advertiser. So this certainly simplifies things, of course, to have two platforms as opposed to three and removing the guesswork, really. It's huge and simplifies things. From the business perspective, you know, for Bing, of course, it makes great sense. It's a good business deal.
Yeah.
In terms of query share, Yahoo actually has quite a bit of great mobile query share, and so all of that will flow through Bing, and advertisers are going to get access to those great features, like I just talked about, right? TSA page feeds. It's all the wonderful things that we're pumping out from an engineering perspective. So that's all ACES. And it's Yahoo, it's AOL, and it's also their search partners. So you know, that's a relatively lengthy list of sites as well. So there's a lot of volume that this entails.
Hmm.
Now, as we all know, Verizon, Oath, Yahoo, AOL, call it whatever you will. My head hurts thinking about all the name changes there. They make more money from display than they make from search. So that's a part of this conversation as well. Within the Bing ecosystem, you know, we've been working on the Microsoft Audience Network, and that is a native ad platform,
mm-hmm.
Very much focused on Microsoft properties, so MSN, the Edge browser, Outlook even, Outlook Online. This deal pertains to that as well. So, Oath is going to get some access. There, I did it again. Sorry, Verizon Media Group is going to get access to some of our...
We've got a glossary for show notes later on.
I know. They're going to get access to some of our premium inventory.
Right.
But, the flip side of that is that our advertisers that are working within MSAN, the Microsoft Audience Network, will be able to tap into their inventory as well. And so this is a really, really big deal, both on the search side and on the display/native side. And it's going to be a relatively quick rollout, I believe, if my memory serves me right, at least for the search piece. All queries will be served through Bing Ads by the end of March.
End of March?
That's correct.
Wow.
So pretty fast turnaround.
Huh. It's almost like they were preparing for this.
Well, the infrastructure was already there, right? It's just a matter of flipping the appropriate switches. And
cool.
I'm not the contract guy, right? I'm pretty low on that totem pole. So my gut says there were some things that they had to wrap up, legally mm-hmm. speaking. And March apparently was the time.
That's really going to pump a good bit of life into AOL, right? With this new connection here.
Well, yeah, I mean, AOL is such an interesting beast. People still actively use their email services.
And, amazing.
Even though the AOL.com homepage isn't what it once was, still, I'd have to fact check this, but my gut says at least in the top 100 websites, right? Like, it kind of boggles my mind, right? I was an AOL user back in the day, but haven't been in a long time.
Yeah, I'm saying.
There really still are plenty.
They beat out Prodigy and they beat out CompuServe.
I bet they did.
All right. Well, good insight there. Last on the list here from Jenny Marvin over at Search Engine Land. Bing Ads offer agencies a chance for prizes, for accreditation, new accounts, and more. So what's Bing Ads? What are they offering to agencies, Tom?
Yeah, so starting January 2nd, which was a couple weeks ago, agencies can accrue one entry in Bing Ads as sweepstakes with each Bing Ads accredited professional certification. There we go.
Hey.
Up to 10 entries for new accounts added to their
otherwise
Bing
known as BAP.
BAP.
Right?
BAP. for new accounts added to their Bing agency accounts and 5 entries for enrolling in the Bing partner program.
Oh, cool.
So to get started, you visit, there's a link there, mm-hmm. and you'll find official rules. Grand prize, chip for 2 individuals of the waiting agency to the Bing Partner Summit in May. I think it goes for 3 months, if I remember right. So,
oh, cool.
May grand prize, 2 individuals go to Dublin for mm-hmm. April 19, mm-hmm. April 2019. There's Xbox One prize, there's Amazon gift card prizes, some coffee gift cards. So, do a little contest to get mm-hmm. people into Bing Ads here.
Now that I see the Xbox One. Now you must understand, I'm fully versed in Xbox with a 19 year old son now. So that Xbox One is not the Xbox One X. It's the Xbox One, as I'm, or S for that.
It might be. You don't know. Maybe Jenny Marvin doesn't know. Yeah, or S I'll, existed I'll, like
I'll
me.
I'll ask the powers that be. I actually know the partner team well. I'll have to ask.
Yeah, give us the 2016 version, please.
Yeah, they don't make the Xbox One anymore.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really cool. Honestly, you know, Sites for Genius need to jump into that thing. That'd be awesome.
There you go.
So tell us about this new partner program. It sounds like a real big outreach for what Microsoft, for what Bing's doing right now.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, you know, as an organization, as a business, we pride ourselves, right? Again, I'm a training guy. But I work closely with, you know, partners in sales, et cetera. And just as an organization, we pride ourselves on, you know, being service first, and our clients matter greatly to us. And so, you know, we approach that in a number of ways, but one of that is our partner team. And they are a group of individuals dedicated to working with agencies primarily. Mm-hmm. You know, but those advertisers, building a relationship, right? It's more than just your typical account rep activity. You know, this is regular communication, check-ins, and whatnot. And so this is really just a push to say, hey, you know, we think more people should be aware, A, of the partner program, and B, would love to have more people be active participants, right? And so the more closely we can build relationships with our advertisers, the better we're all going to be. So we learn from you, you learn from us, and vice versa. So the contest is relatively simple. BAP.
Love it.
I love that phrase. I see that word every day, quite literally. BAP is an easy win. You know, just create an account, take a test of your knowledge of the Bing Ads platform, and voila, you've got an entry into the contest. And again, inquiring for information on the partner program, again, simple, you know, yeah, you're going to have a conversation with somebody. Okay. I get it. But it's not somebody's actively selling you to just run out and buy something. It's somebody wants to talk to you about building a relationship. So in my mind, it's an easy win.
Absolutely.
So and, you know, the Seattle, that's for our North American folks, right? That grand prize. And then for those folks in EMEA, would be doubled. So mm-hmm. It's two grand prizes, but it's based on market.
Very good.
Got it.
Very good.
Well, and then before we move on here, Aaron, yeah. We talked about it right before the show started with everybody here, and there's a search engine land article that was posted within the last hour. So it's AdWords related, so we'll get your guys' feedback on here. Google tells the headline here. Google tells some advertisers it will handle their campaign management. Subheadline here. In 7 days, Google ad reps will start making changes to advertisers' accounts if advertisers don't opt out. So what's happening? So according to the email, they'll identify key changes that can help you get more out of, quote, key changes that can help you get more out of your ads, from restructuring your ad groups and modifying your keywords to adjusting your bids and updating your ad text.
Okay.
That structure, keywords, bid ads, they also offer setup and ongoing activation of advanced features and ensure the right features are being activated at the right moment. What they say they won't touch are budgets. So you're Aaron, mm-hmm. Is it Levi? Levy, director of PPC at Elite SEM, first was the one that kind of got the Twitter ablaze with this news. Google's long... continuing with the article here, Google has long had account reps and teams that will reach out to advertisers with optimization recommendations and account consultations, but it's mm-hmm. also not uncommon for agencies to complain that Google reps have reached out to their clients. Clearly, they have accounts under the agency's management platform. So,
really? They got in front of the agencies and actually were talking to the clients themselves?
Apparently. Google is careful to say that advertisers are responsible for the results of their campaigns and shouldn't put a blind faith in its optimization efforts. In disclaimer posted by Aaron Levy, the company says it doesn't guarantee or no promise any particular results mm-hmm. From implementing these changes. So there's a screenshot here of their notice that they sent out to campaign mm-hmm. ad managers here. So we got 7 business days to opt out if you don't want Google going in and making changes to your campaigns and everything. So
for the lazy ad agency or PPC manager, that could be fantastic, because all of a sudden now you have Google ad cruise control for coming from Google themselves. But what an overreach. I mean, honestly, yeah, we're in their sandbox, but no, absolutely not.
And I'll preface my next statement by saying I'm making no statements in an official capacity etc. Yep. So coming from my history as agency side, like this, I don't know, it seems like a big red flag. If they're not reaching out beyond an email or just a notification in the UI, I mean, I don't know, it seems like a stretch to say, okay, you have 7 days and boom, you know, we're going to take action. That it seems big. It even seems risky, but
hugely risky. You know, you might think that because of that overreach, you know, advertisers might want to pull out of said platform and go find an alternative platform. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Bing Ads.
You said it. Not me. I would say, I mean, there is a level of advertiser who this may make sense, sure. Right?
Yeah.
To have that type of support, that type of hand holding. I guess where I differ in opinion is the approach.
Hmm.
That's all.
No. That's all so. Yeah, that I think that is incredibly risky, and you know, the fact of the matter here is that they have their space now. They're giving a lot of great optimization insights, and yours truly has been able to benefit from some of those insights off of their overview menu. It's some great tools. They're finding new keywords for you. They're looking into your market and advocating certain areas. Yeah. I mean, they're wanting you to spend your money in that space. Mm-hmm. But going to the client, if that's true, if they're actually contacting the client of the agency without notification, that's crossing a line right there. And we got to investigate that because that sorry, that gets my dander up there. I tell you what, if you want to know more about these news items and much more, go jump into the Edge of the Web newsletter. You can sign up online simply by texting the number. Oh, actually, going over to the website, edgeoftheweberadio.com, and jump right there into the newsletter add-on field. Or you can actually text to the number, don't do it while you're driving, 228-28, the word Edge Talk, and you can join right there. We're covering all these stories and much more. Especially talking about who we've actually interviewed and who's going to be upcoming in the interviews. And hey, you know what? It's free of charge. We won't do anything else with your email except sending you beautiful, beautifully wrapped digital nuggets of gold.
There we go.
There it is right there. I don't know how I got to that particular phrase over the years, but it's sticking. So we really appreciate everybody joining into the newsletter tribe, the Edge Nation, and certainly give us some feedback on what we can do in the space of communicating to you what's upcoming on the Edge. And hey, give us a lowdown on how we're doing there as well. So follow all the featured trending topics over at edgeoftheweberadio.com. But now let's deep dive with this week's featured guest.
Now it's time for Edge of the Web featured interview with John Lee, learning strategist with Bing Ads at Microsoft.
I like that title, learning strategist.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Had my choice of titles. There's a lot of ways to refer to someone who does learning and development. And like that one just has a certain air of authority.
I dig it. Well, let's introduce John to our audience. If you hadn't caught his last stint on the show here, John Lee is actually a digital advertising professional with experience in PPC, display advertising, social advertising, SEO, and analytics. He's been in the industry since 2006, working with Hennepin Marketing, WordStream, and as co-owner of Clicks Marketing at Microsoft. John is actually a learning strategist creating training experiences for Bing Ad customers. So that's the official lowdown on John Lee. Let's hear the non-official backstory here. John, how'd you get through the channels of digital marketing, and how'd you end up at Bing?
Oh, man. What a curvy path that's been. to get into the industry, I worked at in Bloomington.
Sure. The Hennepin was a great company.
Well, yeah, it was before that. I worked at a small self-publishing company called Author House, mm-hmm. Now Author Solutions. Just knew the right people, apparently. So Hennepin came calling, was the third employee there. And, you know, as things happened, changed jobs, whatnot, ended up at Clicks, and things were great there. And in fact, that's how we first met, right? Was when I was at Clicks. But I've had really good relationships with a lot of folks at Bing for a long time, and you know, an opportunity came up, and decided, you know, I'm gonna at least have the conversation. See what this is all about. It felt like it was the right time to make a career move, and thankfully I'd built up enough social equity within the industry, and had racked up enough knowledge, I guess, in this random steel trap I've got to qualify for the job. So there you go. And yeah, now I put that all to good use, and I create training for clients, yes, but also our sales field. Those account managers, account executives that our clients talk to, unfortunately, depending on information from this guy.
So you're the go-to man for training those account managers and sales. So you keep them in shape and make sure that they know all the offerings of Bing. Now, Bing's over the course of the last 3 years, their offerings in the ad space have matured. Now, Bing ads have been around for a very good long time. I mean, at the onset of Google Ads, Bing was right there, and in its different iterations. So, give us a lowdown of just from a 30,000 foot view, some of the most recent changes, because there's been a bunch, but some key things that you wanted to let our audience know.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, goodness. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, we talked a little bit about earlier the you know, which came first, chicken or the egg, or Yahoo or thing, and who's buying ads from whom.
Yep.
Scenario. I remember when what was live.com, right, or it was Bing.com, and AdCenter was the original incarnation of what we now know and love as Bing Ads.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like such a long time ago, but I think it was late 2007. Seems right. It sounds right. But you know, a lot of things have changed, right? It's a mature platform. There's a lot of traffic that comes through Bing, believe it or not. It's a big business. A lot of moving pieces, and you know, I'm in a unique position where I get to sit on B teams. It's our word for teams throughout the go-to-market process. Right. So I'm actually sitting on these calls with our engineers, partners in marketing, partners in support, and discussing these products from very nascent stages all the way through to, you know, global launch, which is fascinating, right? And for me, I'm building the knowledge base to influence the training that I'm going to build. So it's interesting. We have a lot of things happening. We've got our base search product. Been around for a while, but we've tacked on several layers of audience targeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's been more active areas of development. So we've got remarketing and paid search. Google calls that RLSA, right? So that's tremendous. But more recently, in-market audiences, which are huge and in a rare turn of events, we actually beat Google to the punch on that one for search. And then more recently, and I know it's got a lot of people really excited, and that is LinkedIn profile targeting.
Yep. You better believe it.
Yep. And so, it's one of those things where on the surface, it's like, okay, well, that's an obvious choice for B2B advertisers, but there's actually value there for anybody, you know, B2C, retail, et cetera, because if you know about your customer base, that, hey, people work in these industries, like our top spending customers work in these types of industries, or, you know, these types of jobs, that is information that you can absolutely leverage and apply. But, you know, under the surface and still very much in beta mode, we're working on some custom audience features, you know, working with DMPs, right? So data management platforms, to pull in audience data from outside of the Bing ecosystem, some similar audience activity. So there's a lot baking there.
Hmm.
We touched on DSA. So that's, you know, that was, I think the initial DSA piece came out in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
page feeds, of course, much more recently. But that's a tremendous feature. And the big dog in the room, in terms of just investment and potential importance to the platform, but also to our advertisers, is the Microsoft Audience Network. And so, you know, for those advertisers that have been along for a long time, myself included, you guys included, you know, Bing has dabbled in native before. Mm-hmm. At one point, it was just native ads, and then they called it intent ads. But now with the Microsoft Audience Network, we're doubling down on that strategy. And it's not just extending search campaigns, which is what those early iterations were. As you're doing search, mm-hmm. well, let's use those keywords to contextually match you to some native inventory. And that's still there, and you absolutely can and should do that. Mm-hmm. But the important piece is the inventory's grown. It's premium inventory, and particularly with the Verizon Media Group announcement, tapping into some things on Yahoo and AOL and that massive display that they have. So there's inventory there. But what's happening in beta right now, and we'll soon be moving into an open beta here in a couple months, is an audience campaign. And what that means is, just like you would with a Google Display Network campaign on Google Ads, mm-hmm. create a native-only campaign within Bing that targets the Microsoft Audience Network. And so it's a huge opportunity for everybody. It's some inventory that's exclusive, for one. And two, it's the Microsoft graph. And what that means is Microsoft, just like a Google, just like anybody, there's a ton of data, right, that sits under the surface. And you know, we're not going down some crazy, you know, personal information rabbit hole, but there's enough data there that can safely, you know, again, without compromising anybody's personal security, can influence targeting, right? So, okay, we know these groups of people are inclined to match this, you know, affinity or this type of interest. Targeting, it's where the data for in-market audiences comes from as well. So there's a lot happening there, and that is exclusive to Microsoft Audience Network. And so we're excited about it. Obviously, I'm sitting here rattling off like a crazy nerd. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's a big bet. There's a lot of investment in there from an engineering and a development standpoint, and even, you know, with folks like on my team, building out training for our sellers, but getting, you know, ready in advance for our clients as well. So that's coming. And again, when you see a post, and I'm sure it'll be on the Search Engine Land, Search Engine Journal, everywhere, mm-hmm. when that open beta comes, raise your hand, man. I promise you it's exciting and you will not be disappointed. So
yeah, that's something, it's new, and it's a huge, leverage up that Bing has against Google. I do think that it's going to be a differentiator. I mean, between that and the LinkedIn connections that you've got now, that's a 1-2 punch that truly is. It's getting out of a kind of closed ecosystem, and you're now having a much more reach and much more connection to intent outside of specific pursuits on search or display. You're going to get them residing where they're more comfortable, so to speak. And it's a beautiful thing. It truly is. And that's what's smart about the rollout. So backing up here, and I know there's a stigma. I got to get this thing, the elephant in the room here is, you know, whenever, whenever advertisers, or I should say clients, are wanting to go into the ad space, right? Mentioning Bing, I mean, there's a perspective of obviously there's the lion's share of search equity is in the Google space, right? And so as an advertiser, I should say, as a marketing agency, we see the opportunities that Bing provides that Google does not have, but there's still that stigma of, you know, how valuable would that property be if the advertiser put that money and bet it on Bing. So can you give us a a reason why people shouldn't overlook Bing Ads, but more importantly, what is the key differentiator that is a huge winning factor for Bing?
Great question. So the easy answer that I like to give to this line of questioning is, when you go to the store to buy pie, which I don't do a lot of these days, I gave up pie a while ago. Didn't give up bourbon, as we were talking about earlier, but gave up pie. But if you're going to go to the store and buy pie, are you going to buy only 70% of the pie?
No.
Even if you have 30% of the store?
I mean, absolutely.
It's a waste of a good pie.
That is not a pie. That is somebody's used pie, and I will not take a used pie.
You know, again, 30% market share, give or take, in the U.S., and of course it varies in different countries, whether it's Canada or different countries.
Absolutely.
Et cetera. And you can change the analogy appropriately. But it's all about, are you really going to leave that opportunity on the table? Because there are millions upon millions upon millions of searches happening across the Bing network every day. And so then if we go click deeper, to use that cheesy phrase, but it's appropriate in this conversation, you go that click deeper and you say, okay, well, what's happening then at a cost per click standpoint, click-through rate standpoint, et cetera. And while it's not going to happen in every case, in every vertical or in every industry, more times than not, advertisers are going to be pleasantly surprised to find that, okay, yes, I'm going to get 30% of my overall PPC volume from Bing.
Right.
But if I look within that 30%, I love my click-through rate and I love my cost per click in comparison to what I'm getting on Google Ads. Right.
Yep.
And that often translates into a better conversion rate, potentially a better cost per acquisition. Again, the results may vary, but that's what we see at a high level. And again, we're constantly having clients come back to us with those types of case study numbers, and of course we love to see it. Wish more people would preach that and proclaim that loudly. But that's the somewhat of a long-winded answer to that. And so don't ignore it, particularly with the recent announcement and again us getting all that inventory from the Yahoo and AOL ecosystem plugged in.
Yep.
Don't ignore it, and differentiating factor. I mean,
I think we rolled through a couple of them just now.
Yeah, we did. I mean, a lot. Again, it's so easy to set up. Again, if you're already running a Google Ads, we have intentionally made that path as free of debris as possible. Right, bring your stuff over your campaigns, and particularly some of these specialty campaigns like DSAs for shopping. Again, it's all compatible. It's gonna import right over.
Yep.
You get plugged into the Bing ecosystem and away you go. So the reasons for argument and the reasons for complaining are dwindling.
Yeah. They're dwindling, and I think we have over the last few shows been talking about consumer loyalty and platform loyalty. And we're hearing harbingers of advertisers breaking away from just the mass marketing channels and really finding home in much more loyal pockets. We talk about Quora all the time. We talked about Reddit last week, right? Mm-hmm. There's an incredible resurgence of platforms, and by no means is Microsoft or Bing a micro platform, but you do have essence of a lot of consumer loyalty, and that's where those click throughs go through the roof. And if you actually compare a local campaign against Google local campaigns, I've seen the evidence is that on a regular basis those CTRs are much higher than that, because you also have the native device rollout. I mean, you've got that right there on the application, and Microsoft certainly has a dominance in the PC space, and you've got that as an easy win for that consumer loyalty, right?
And to that point, a lot of people would then say, okay, well, yeah, but user patterns are flowing to mobile, and Bing doesn't perform as well there. Well, I can't argue that statement. However, what I can point out is particularly for those tech nerds among us, and I know the three of us in particular are, those listeners that also fall into this lovely bucket we sit in, you'll know that Microsoft's been getting, and not just big, Microsoft's been getting a ton of positive press lately. Yes, I have reasons to believe that because I work there, but there's a lot of really great things happening, and there's a lot of love right now for Microsoft for what they're doing on mobile, whether it's how they've pushed out Office to the masses, regardless of device.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Microsoft Launcher on Android.
Mm-hmm.
I had flirted with a few times, but I've been using it consistently for like the last year and a half, and there's no turning back. I love it. And the Edge browser. Yes, I was one of the beta users of the Edge browser for Android. Not only does it not suck, it's amazing. that I can quickly just be like, yeah, you know what? I want to read this later, send to mobile.
Yep.
Send to desktop. And the next time I open up my computer, Edge opens and there it is, right? And vice versa. There's all kinds of interplay, bookmarks, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It used to take third-party apps to do that type of stuff. Microsoft is saying you don't need a third-party app. Like, we're just going to make it easy for you. And because of that, we are, if you think about it from a business perspective, what's going to happen if people start using these really, really nice, beautiful, effective apps? We start to see search share grow, right? Because people are using our products and they're going to be naturally gravitating towards Bing. And so, you know, there's just a lot of good that's happening there, right? Sure. And again, I think I heard you mention Xbox earlier.
Yep.
It's your son's user, right? You've also got Microsoft Rewards. And so people that play Xbox know Microsoft Rewards because just earning achievements in a game can earn rewards. If you use Bing, you will also earn Microsoft Rewards, which can, you know, earn you entries into raffles. And heck, if you earn enough points, and I'm sure there are some uber gamers out there that have probably done this, you can actually just straight up trade it out for gift cards, right? So at any rate, so there's more support for Bing than just for Bing. It's a core priority for Microsoft as well. Hope that all made sense.
And wasn't it for a brief time? I think it jumped back forth with Amazon or Apple as the largest.
We ended the calendar year officially as the most valuable company, but like within 2 days, it slid, right? Those market caps have just been wonky for months now. And stock prices run along with them. So
no, Microsoft is certainly demonstrating its strength in the marketplace. And on the Bing search side of things, it's been doing nothing but growing in value, especially over the last 3 years. Now, how long have you been with the firm?
October 2016. So
interesting enough, very similar to the growth pattern of Bing. All right, I got
lines you draw.
Hey, happy to help there. So I got to double down on this: is that can we get Microsoft Ads into Fortnite? Because if we can do that, we have such a dedicated, loyal. No, ain't gonna happen, huh? Listeners, he's shaking his head now.
maybe Forza Horizon 4. I'd be down with that. Fortnite.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, you talk about creating an ecosystem of new consumers. These kids are just, I mean, it's ruckus what they can do in that space. And they're, I mean, the in-app buying that they've got. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, the skins that they can buy. I mean, not to get completely
long looking at the financials of the gaming industry, you'll quickly realize you're in the wrong space.
Oh my gosh.
They make more money than the movie industry in its entirety and a couple other industries combined.
Oh, it's amazing. So if we can bridge that gap and get Bing Ads in there, it's a surefire win, and you will topple Google. All right, swinging back around, we talked about the Microsoft Audience Network, and I really want to unpack that a little bit more so our listeners can understand what this is and how it's so unique. So, this is native advertising in the Microsoft Audience Network. And what are the different, where's the topography lie? Where are all these different audiences? We certainly have application specific audiences, but kind of give us the tour of the Audience Network.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, ad placement, where would your ad ultimately end up? The big three, mm-hmm. at least, you know, in terms of the pilot or beta that's going on right now, is, you know, MSN.com, which is a deep well of content, news, etc. You've got the Edge browser.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure somebody out there is chuckling at that, but there are a lot of users on the Edge browser.
Hey, we love the name. We love the name.
Yeah, yeah. And then
we were there first, by the way.
Yeah. And then Outlook.com. And so those are the three, you know, premium Microsoft-owned placements to really get things ramped up and moving. But there, you know, there are already mechanisms in place to start expanding that. Of course, we talked about the Yahoo AOL partnership, mm-hmm. and expanding into that network. And so again, you're thinking, okay, well now, you know, again, Yahoo, despite their woes, still one of the most trafficked sites in the world. AOL, like you mentioned, the same thing. And they both have really strong and mature at this point. It's crazy to think of it that way, but mature display networks. With a lot of quality content, a lot of quality placements. And so when you think TechCrunch, Edmunds, shoot. Because again, we were joking about AOL, but like AOL owns some of the biggest,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, they have Engadget as well.
Out there. So
maybe.
Quality placement. So, like, in terms of where the ads are going, that's it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, today for any advertiser, you can tap into that. So, if you've got a search campaign
mm-hmm.
going, you know, in your campaign settings, review at the ad group level, you can say, you can click the little checkbox to say yes to audience network, and then you can apply a bid adjustment. So, okay, I'm willing to spend 10% extra per click or whatever for an audience placement.
Mm-hmm.
And you can run that with just a regular text ad, but we don't recommend that. So what you would do in that case is you've got your search campaign. It is still a search campaign. Under your extensions, your ad extensions, add an image extension. So by adding an image extension, then you are set up to serve a truly native ad, right? With a nice, big, pretty image,
mm-hmm.
body copy, et cetera. And so that's the easiest way to get started today. And as the backend connections with Yahoo and AOL will happen here in the next couple of months, we'll immediately trickle into that. But then, you know, bigger picture is what we're calling an audience campaign, which is a true native only campaign type. There, the ad creation workflow. Yeah, there we go. I'm losing that word. The ad creation workflow is bigger, mm-hmm. In so much as you can add multiple image sizes, a logo, and then, you know, think of building like a responsive display ad in Google Ads.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same short headline, long headline, my massive body copy, etc. Build all of that out to serve, and then there again more controls in terms of how do you want to serve those ads? Is it, you know, against in-market audiences, LinkedIn profile targeting, a remarketing audience, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So very exciting prospect. And for those of you that have managed a Google Display Network campaign before,
mm-hmm.
it should feel familiar. But why is it different? Well, it's completely different inventory. Inventory you can't tap with the display.
No, there it is right there. It's untapped. You can't get that inventory inside of Google Ads, and the variety of images and the variety of display inventory from an advertiser. You have a much larger level of different displays and different ad types, right?
Sure. Well, and I would say that some of the placements, particularly when we think of, you know, AOL's the entirety of their platform,
mm-hmm.
and then the Microsoft owned properties, you know, up until now, those were really only accessible if you were going through, you know, some sort of a display provider,
right?
Or if you were big enough to be buying ads directly from AOL or directly from Microsoft, you would have access to those placements. And so, you know, it's only been recent history and in the testing with the Microsoft Audience Network that we are democratizing access to these premium placements. And so, you know, I guess I've been brushing over that, but that is in and of itself pretty big news.
Mm-hmm.
because otherwise most advertisers don't have the budget to be like, well, all right, yeah, I'm okay with the 15K monthly minimum, sure. not every business has that kind of budget flexibility.
I don't know. So, I mean, and that's the thing is that for advertisers that haven't experienced the interface and the controls over Bing ads, they got to take time to go explore that because it's a rich dashboard. It's a great tool set. And these additional factors truly can complement the portfolio of what you're actually executing inside of Google Ads. In fact, I mean, it could very well, not that this would be a recommendation, but you could explore the display ad network inside of Bing as a complement to what you're doing in the Google search and vice versa. There's a lot of different flexibility that you can have to experiment in and you're seeing there are some great results coming in from Bing ad placements. So I highly recommend exploring that. So whenever you're coming across that interest of okay, let's jump in and look at what a budget would look like for either local or national. You're also delivering better budget delivery as well. So what would be maybe threefold expense? We can get pretty much some of the same results for much less than that. Correct?
That's right. That's right. Better CPCs, better click-through rate means more bang for your buck. That's the bottom line.
There it is. And you got to be wise to what's out there for your own inventory as an advertiser or your client's inventory, because you're responsible for every dollar that they're spending. And
the best steward of that budget as you possibly can be.
There it is. There it is. So what other types of targeting or optimization can you do inside of Bing Ads to kind of wrap up our understanding now?
Oh, goodness. I mean, for those that haven't been in the platform in a while or at all, you know, we do have several automated bidding options, whether that's, you know, max CPC, max CPA, mm-hmm. target CPA, just max clicks, which is actually more useful than people give that particular bid type credit for, particularly mm-hmm. if you have a limited budget. And, you know, so those are great, but just setting rules, you know, and relatively complicated business case rules. One that I'm particularly fond of is, you know, being able to schedule a Google import. So again, we can take campaign data out of Google Ads and put it into Bing Ads, and we can automate that. And so again, if you're like, okay, I don't have time to manage two platforms.
Well, yep.
We could probably argue that, but
there are different spaces, guys. Don't be lazy.
Right. Yeah. If you truly don't have time, you know, again, do your work in Google, your ad keywords, build some new ads, and then just have that automated Google import set up, and it'll pull those new pieces in. So you can set it to look for only new keywords, only new ads, et cetera.
Yep.
In daily, weekly, whatever your cadence is. And so, again, there's a lot of ways to streamline the flow. And I think I made the joke earlier, like the number of excuses for not using the ads is very quickly dwindling.
Yeah, you better believe it. And on top of that, if you wanted to utilize certain tools like WordStream, WordStream has a great interface with Bing Ads as well as Google Ads. And yeah, don't be lazy. Manage the platforms individually. But you know, WordStream is a great standardization tool to be able to have that type of interplay. So, we know you came from WordStream as well, but it's a great tool.
They've come a long way because they started out just as like a search query mining utility, and that's what they were when I was there.
Yeah. Now they're centralizing Facebook ads as well. I mean, they've been able to do a good deal of centralization. It's almost like a dashboard of ad management, which SiteStrategics truly appreciates. Well, I we really appreciate the unpacking of Bing, John. Any final thoughts for digital marketers and advertisers that are listening to the show and want to give Bing a try?
Yeah, well, don't be afraid to shout out and reach out. Again, you can hit me up on Twitter. I think you guys have all the pertinent info. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you have questions or just need somebody to direct you, feel free to reach out to me. That's fine. Or just go to bingads.microsoft.com and follow the trail there as well to reach out to somebody. But again, I've said it a couple times, we try to make it as easy of a, an on-ramp, if you will, onto the platform. And I will hold to that statement for sure.
There you go.
So jump on board. We'd love to have you. And I know my friends and my account execs and account managers would be happy to help out as well. So.
And they've got pie.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about pie. I was trying to come up with analogies right. The whole time you guys were talking there of different toppings and different additions to pie, right. Add-ins you can add to pie.
They got the Cool Whip. They got the Cool Whip.
I got distracted with thinking about different pies I can make at home.
I'll see. So that's where you
if
went.
If it had crust and it was sugar-free, I might say yes.
A bourbon Kentucky pie. Have you had that before?
A bourbon derby pie.
Oh,
I might give up my no pie rule just for that.
It's a pecan and chocolate and bourbon.
Oh
my gosh. It's an elixir. That's what it is.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay. Hey, John, it's always a pleasure having you on board. Hey, we always ask of our guests a couple questions before we sign off. What bugs you about your industry right now?
Yeah. The people that are out there in out of this side of their mouth saying, AI, it's so cool. It's great. It's the wave of the future. And then out of this side of their mouth saying, hey, don't take away my control. I don't do these things for me. I want to do them myself. We can't have our cake and eat it too, or in this case, pie.
Hi.
So that's really frustrating right now because we touched on it with DSA, right? AI, machine learning, I know that there are subtle differences there, but the bottom line being, yes, you're giving up some control. Mm. That being said, there are some really, really great returns that can potentially come from that. So Don't follow the white rabbit of AI and then say, no, give me control. That annoys the heck out of me.
Conversely, what excites you about your industry right now?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of my current muses, and that would be Reddit and Quora, both as a user, but just looking at it from an advertising perspective. And it's the targeting. And you can say it about the industry as a whole, but those two in particular. So, a lot of people are migrating away from Facebook users and advertisers, right? It's like, okay, if I want to be able to target somebody without a custom audience, right, where I know their email already, or I know their phone number already,
right?
But I really want to zero in on them. Right now, Reddit and Quora, two really great ways of doing that. So with Reddit, if there's a community, I guarantee you there's a subreddit for it. Mm-hmm. And on Quora, somebody's asked a question about it. Those are two very rich platforms. And you can just zero straight in. Like with Quora, you can actually target based off of the questions themselves. Mm-hmm. You can retarget people that look at specific questions.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
It is awesome. And it's a great R&D exploration as well. You can truly understand intent along with that. And they've got, Reddit's got 75,000 in the bourbon subreddit. I just want to let you know.
75,001?
75,001 in just one subreddit.
No, I meant with you added, makes it 75,000.
Yeah, well, I've added a few. I have a couple of anonymous accounts.
Bourbon, whiskey. I think there's one, pardon me for saying it, but whiskey porn, which is just those are people's whiskey collections. And every time I'm on Reddit, which is way too often, it's always like, I need to try that one. So
it's amazing. I mean, just strolling. Just going through the pictures. My God.
Birds of a feather.
Well, I tell you what, John, it's great to be able to catch up with you again. And good luck at Bing. And we'll certainly be touching base with you and finding out more what Bing's doing. Don't be a stranger. He's not because he's back. Right. Mm-hmm. And hey. We really appreciate the input and especially the offline guidance to your favorite bourbons as well. We're probably going to have to do like a remote Bourbon Edge show at some point in time down in Louisville. We got some friends down there. And John,
I will say yes right now.
Very cool. Well, again, we truly appreciate it. Let's make sure we promote something for you. What you got in the quiver over there?
Yeah, so my team, we've got a client training portal. So if you, again, if you're new to the platform or you've been there a while, but you feel like, hey, you need to brush up on some skills, we actually have a training platform. So academy.bingads.microsoft.com, just lovingly known as Bing Ads Academy. Mm-hmm. And there you're going to find some courses. You know, they're bite-sized. You know, most of them are in that average of 5 minutes in length. So, you know, just take them at your leisure and brush up on your skills on the Bing Ads platform. And again, if you like what you see, let me know.
Very cool. Head on the screen there, and we'll certainly have it in the show notes as well. So if you want to go brush up on your skills on the Bing Ad side of things, you better do it. It's absolutely a space where you can win for your client and for your company. So, John, thank you so much for your time today, and we're certainly going to be following you in the future, sir. All right.
Thank you very much.
Not a problem. Thanks so much for everybody over at the Edge Nation following us and listening to us. We really appreciate it. Yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
That's a good one.
I think it is. You know, follow John over on Twitter at John_A_Lee, as well as over on the LinkedIn side, Baked Week, and Instagram, Baked Wheat with a T. And check out all the information over at edgeoftheweb.radio.com. We truly appreciate listening and watching our content. Give some feedback. Be sure to rate and review, because that's how we optimize our content. But also we get feedback from you of how we're doing and who we should be talking to. Speaking of, Tom, who are we going to be talking to next?
Yeah, next week. Next week is David Gerhart, VP of Marketing at Drift.
Okay.
He's got a new book out called, we had conversational copywriting a couple weeks ago. Yep. This new book, it's actually out the Wednesday before our show. It's called Conversational Marketing.
Oh, cool.
So he's got a new book out, and we haven't had Drift on the show before, so seemed like a good time.
Yep. We'll drift that way. Oh, God. I got to come up with some better jokes. All right, from all of us over at Edge of the Web and Site Strategics, thanks for listening and watching, and check us out next week. Do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.